ओम गणतमिरंदस्य अर्जुना अर्जुना सलकाया चक्षुषमिलितान जेना जमीन ओम गणतमिरंदस्य अर्जुना अर्जुना सलकाया चक्षुषमिलितान जेना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Vibhagama Yam Dadati Sapanantika Vansa Kapajivas Cha Kripa Sindhu Vaiva Cha Pratitaram Papanebhyo Vaishnavedan Unama This very deep esoteric chapter of the Bhagavatam on one level seems so simple because we'll be hearing of the attraction of the damsels of Vrindavan to Krishna, and specifically they're enraptured by the sound of his flute. Very, very, very simple. Almost like a rock concert of some sort, where everyone is, all the Matajis in the audience, they're all in love with the lead guitarist or something. But it's not like that at all, because this is Krishnendriya Priti, Premanam. That this is the highest form of the soul's relationship with Krishna. It is so difficult to understand what to speak of, realize how pure the hearts of the Braja Gopis are in their dealings with Krishna. We cannot, practically speaking, fathom it from our position here as insignificant souls in the material world, because this is the highest degree of anyabhilasita sunyam anukulena krishna anushilanam. This is the highest degree of pure devotional service, wherein all one desires is the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the nature of Brajadam. This is what everyone does in heaven, because the different scriptures of the world, they speak about going to heaven and going to paradise. But what do you do there? Who is the center? People think that you go to these places after death and you really enjoy. And therefore, it's so much better than this miserable material world of Martyloka, this place of death. But no one has the idea of what the spiritual world is like and who the center of the spiritual world is. And therefore no one, practically speaking, knows what the sadhana is, the practices are, to achieve that realm. Because what's practiced, nitya sadasya bhavasya prakata middhi sadhita, what's practiced is sadhana. The same thing in its perfected natural form goes on as the sadhya, or the goal in the spiritual world. And what is that? It's practice. The sadhana is practice serving Krishna, putting Krishna first, removing our self from the center of this illusory universe that we live within, thinking that we are the center. No, that has to be removed, because it is illusion. It will be removed, whether we like it or not. We will be kicked out of this illusory center, that I am the center of everything, because it's illusion. It cannot stand before reality. So life is meant for developing a consciousness, a Krishna consciousness, a God-centered consciousness where Krishna is the center. And when that consciousness is perfected through the process of bhakti, bhakti mam jananti yavanyasthasmi tatvata, when it is perfected, when that consciousness is perfected to pure, the purest of love for Krishna, when one cares nothing for anything other than the pleasure of that Supreme Person, Krishna, then when one loves Krishna in a very, very special way, then one perhaps could become qualified to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So this, what we're reading, are the words of the Braja Gopis and how they perceive reality with Krishna, how they're perceiving Krishna, and how their hearts, due to the love, as we heard from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, they have captured, due to their love for Krishna, they have captured Krishna within their hearts. They have captured Krishna. He is made captive by their love. This is the power of love for Krishna. It captures Krishna. And this is why Vrindavan is the most wonderful place, because it is that place where Krishna is held captive. He cannot leave. Vrindavanam prityaja palamekam nagacchati. He cannot leave this realm, not one step, because because he doesn't want to. Just like the real reason we do not go back to the spiritual world is that we have all our attachments. The reason we don't go to Goloka Vrindavan is all our attachments and desires are centered here in this material world. So therefore that's what keeps us here. We cannot take one step out of the material world because practically speaking we don't want to. We talk about it, yes, 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 but all our attachments are, I'm just speaking in a general way, not of you certainly, you devotees. So similarly, Krishna is captured in Vrindavan because he does not want to leave. And why doesn't he want to leave? Because he's attracted, like every living entity is attracted. He's attracted by the love of those who love him. And those who love him are the residents of Vrindavan. And they love him in such a special way, a unique way. So we're going to hear now, we have the fortune of hearing of the love of the Brajastriya, of the gopis of Vrindavan. So we read the first four verses yesterday, and now we read the fifth verse. Up to this point, the last verse was Tadvani Antamarabdha. When the gopis heard, Krishna was entering the Vrindavan forest, and when the gopis heard the sound of Krishna's flute, smarantya Krishna cheshtitam, they remembered all the activities of Krishna, and nasakam smaravagena, they were stunned. Even though they wanted to speak, they could not speak. They began to describe the glories of Krishna and how wonderful Krishna was, but they were disabled. Their system crashed, and they couldn't speak because it was overloaded with smara vegena, the pushings of their love for Krishna, and vikshepta manaso nripa. Vikshepta manaso. Does anyone remember what that means? Remember we spoke of the word vikshepta in relationship to japa, caused by the mode of passion? Anyone remember? Distraction or disturb. Vikshepto manasa. Their minds were disturbed, not by the mode of passion, but by their transcendental love, the rising of their transcendental love, and they could not speak. But now there is a very mysterious verse that is considered the topmost verse in the Bhagavatam that describes Krishna. And the scene of Krishna. There are three verses that specially describe the scene of Krishna's beauty. The first one is Brahma, when the first verse in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, when Brahma sees Krishna after with his shimmering yellow cloth and beautiful Krishna, he sees him and Brahma describes it, but there is some reverence, Aishwarya Bhav, in his consciousness. So his description is wonderful. And then in the 23rd chapter, two chapters later, there is the description what the wives of the brahmanas saw when they saw Krishna. A very wonderful description. But this one here is considered the topmost. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are several examples when these verses, or this verse, is chanted. When Mahaprabhu and the devotees first met Nityananda Prabhu in the house of Nandanacharya, because Nityananda Prabhu was hiding there, and the devotees went to that house. Mahaprabhu led kirtan there, and they walked in, and Nityananda Prabhu was sitting in meditation, and all the devotees, Mahaprabhu understood that this was Nityananda. And all the devotees paid their obeisances to Nityananda, who was deep in meditation. He did not move. And then Mahaprabhu stood in front of him. And he motioned to Mukunda Dutta, who was a wonderful singer from Chattagam, to chant this verse. Maharpitam natavaravapu karunaya kunikaram. That describes Krishna entering the forest of Vrindavan. And when Nityananda heard this verse, he fell to the ground, because within his heart he was experiencing the ecstasy. By hearing the verse, he was experiencing Krishna as he entered the forest. And that beauty completely stunned him, and he fell to the ground again and again. And Mahaprabhu told Mukunda Dutta, keep chanting, keep chanting. And Nityananda rolled on the ground like a madman, because through these words, these pure words of Sukadeva Goswami, that he was experiencing Krishna. So here is the verse. Baharpidam natavaravappu kanayo kanikaram bribradvasad kanaka kapisam vajayantim tamalyam randram venuradara sudaya porayan gopavrinda vrindavaranyam sapada ramanat pravisad gita kirti. So this means bahar pidam. It describes how Krishna had a peacock feather upon his head. So the gopis could not speak about this. But Sukadeva Goswami, as Sanatana Goswami says, he is speaking this. But then he also says that the gopis, even though they couldn't speak it, somehow they spoke it anyway, this description. So Bahar Pidam. So upon his head, this is the first thing that's described in this verse, that Krishna had a peacock feather upon his head. Natavara Vapu. And he was dressed like a demigod, or the best of dancers. Dressed like a dancer, an actor on the stage, in very, very ebullient and eye-catching clothes, his garments. His dhoti was yellow like lightning, as bright and as effulgent as lightning. So natavara vapu kanayir kanikaram, and upon his ears he had flowers, the kanikara flower. Sometimes it's described as a blue lotus flower behind each ear, and then sometimes it's described in Vrindavan, the Kanikara flower, it's a yellowish flower, a yellow, bright yellow flower that's That's like a little trumpet, almost. And it describes, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that he had it only on over one ear, looking very, 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 he is the perfect cool teenager as he dressed, attracting everyone, especially the Braja Gopi. So Maharpidam Natavaravapu Karaya Kanikaram Bibrad Vashad Kanaka Kapisam. His dhoti was yellow like molten gold. He folds it in yellow like gold, bright yellow. And Vajayantim Chamalyam, he was wearing a garland of five different flowers that was very long, touching his knees like that. Five different colored flowers just touching his knees, down all the way to his knees. And that was the color of his dhoti also. Very bright, and he folds him like that. Randram, and what was he doing? Randram Venor. He was filling up the holes of his flute, of his bamboo flute. The Venu was a bamboo flute. He was filling up the holes, because when something has holes, it's considered faulty. So Krishna was filling up the holes of the flute, Adhara Sudeya Poryan, with the nectar emanating from his lotus mouth. He filled the holes of the flute with that. And such an incredibly attractive song was emanating from the flute. And that song of the flute was heard by everyone in Braja. So he filled the holes of the flute with nectar emanating from his lotus mouth, transcendental nectar. And that went to all the residents of Vrindavan. And here the Braja Gopis were hearing that. And within their hearts, they were seeing this incredible scene of Krishna along with the cowherd boys and Balaram entering the forest. Gopa Vrinda, Vrinda, Vrinda Aranyam. Aranya means forest, and Vrinda means the forest of Vrindadevi. So Krishna was entering the forest. So para ramanam pravishad gita kirti. So he's entering the forest with the cowherd boys. As all the cowherd boys, gita kirti, they were singing his glory. So this is a meditation upon Krishna as he's entering the forest. And Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that this is the perfection of meditation. Yoginam api savesham madgitain antaratmaran shadavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. That the one who is constantly meditating on Krishna in this way, or in any way, shadavan bhajate yomam, he is the yoginam api sarvesham madgatena. He is the topmost of all yogis and in a class by himself. He's connected in the best, most incredible way with Krishna. One who meditates on Krishna constantly. There are so many kinds of yogis, and the yogis who are engaged in samadhi yoga or meditation are the highest, and those who meditate on Krishna are the highest of the highest. And the Braja Gopis who are constantly meditating on Krishna in this way are the highest of the highest of the highest. So the cowherd boys were singing the glories of Krishna. What does that mean? They were singing his glories. They were singing about all his different pastimes. This is what the cowherd boys would always do. Day in, day out, when they would go to the forest, when they would come from the forest, they would take the activities that Krishna was performing, the wonderful activities that Krishna was doing, and they would make songs out of them, and they would sing these songs. And in this way, when Krishna, because Krishna would do perform unlimited activities every day. Everything Krishna does is wonderful. Have you ever? It was like that being with Prabhupada too. There are many devotees who have written books about Prabhupada and their dealings with Prabhupada. But I remember one day specifically when I had the great fortune of being with him in Kobe, in South Japan, in Osaka rather, Kobe. And just being with him, everything he did from one moment of the day to the next was like an event. And you could write, actually speaking, I remember thinking at the time, you could write a book about this particular day. And it would be filled, it would be big, it would be interesting, it would be eventful, it would be dramatic. So every day, these great personalities, everything they do is wonderful. Because it is not of this world. No matter what someone does in this world, it may appear wonderful. But if it is mundane, controlled by the modes of material nature, it is boring after a few times, after you see the movie. If you're with someone, they may seem so exciting. Then if you're with them for 2 days, it's starting to get less exciting. After 4 days, it's boring. After 7 days, you already hate them and you wish they would go away. But it's not like that with Krishna, and not with Krishna's great devotees either. Everything is exciting because it's free. It's free from the modes of material nature. It's alive. So the coward boys would continuously sing the glories of Krishna because everything Krishna did was glorious. So here's the translation. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanikara flowers on his ears, ears is plural here, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers, dancing his way into the forest, while playing his flute, surrounded by the coward boys who were chanting his glories and dancing and having fun and joyfully. And in this way he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. And all the residents of Vrindavan, from the animals to the people, they would always respect the footprints of Krishna, and they would never step on them. They would never wipe them out. They would respect them. They venerated them because everyone in Vrindavan had unflinching, unfailing, continuous, ecstatic love for Krishna because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and it is completely natural to love Krishna. So as he did this, he beautified the land of Vrindavan, the soft transcendental dust of Vrindavan with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the coward boys sang his glories. Do you want to go there? Do you want to stay here? It's so much fun here. Just think of all the good things you could do. Wow, it's so great here in the material world. You could get old, you could die. Wow. Wow, it's great. Huh? Yeah, you get some disease. Wow, what disease would you like? As if it makes a difference what disease you like. No, here, this is the eternal spiritual realm. This is where we belong. We wonder why we're not happy here. What am I doing wrong? Well, what we're doing wrong is we're here. We don't belong here. We're like fish out of water. Our gills are flapping, tortured, in fact. And what to do about that is not to glue ourselves in front of a television and forget the pain. No. It's to get back in the water. The water is our spiritual life. Spiritual life. It is life. The atmosphere that we're in now is death. There's no life to it. Everything in the spiritual world is conscious. It's what we're longing for. So here is the very simple purport here. The gopis remembered all the transcendental qualities of Krishna mentioned in this verse. Krishna's artful way of dressing and the beautiful blue flowers placed over his ears excited the gopis' romantic desires. And as he poured the nectar of his lips into his flute, they simply lost themselves in ecstatic love for him. So we'll read some of the comments of the acharyas here. First, Srila Sridhar Swami has a short comment. Because the last verse was Tadvarni Antamarabda. They were beginning to describe, but they were unable to because of the rising of Smara Vegena. Chepto manasa, their minds became disturbed because of the rising of their transcendental loving sentiments. They could not talk. So Srila Sridhar Swami, because they remembered Krishna, smarantya Krishna chaistitam, they remembered the activities of Krishna. What sort of remembrance of Krishna gave rise to agitation? Agitating their minds is stated by Sukadeva in the verse beginning Bahar Pidam. Displaying the body of the best of dancers, he entered the Vrindavan forest. And what was that forest like? It was charming, especially due to being decorated by the marks of his own feet. His glories were being sung by groups of cowherd boys. He wore a head decoration consisting of a peacock feather. The playing of the flute, described by the words beginning randram, which means the flute which had holes. Therefore, the implication is certainly that the vibration coming out of the flute, which is being filled by the nectar of his lips, should come forth just like song. Śrīla Sanātana Gosvāmī has a longer commentary. Thus, with the appearance of the special loving affection, Sukadev, the son of Vyasadev, is remembering the garments worn and other details about the son of Sri Nanda at that given time. And immediately after mentioning the description of him, Krishna, given by those cowherd girls, he himself, Sukadev, gives description of Krishna in the verse beginning Bahar Pidam. So Vanayantam, this is Sukadev's description, it says here. The intended message of this verse has already been explained by Srila Sridhar Swami. But alternately, we can explain that by remembrance of his activities, Krishna's activities, and because their minds were agitated, as their hearts became overwhelmed with thoughts of the particular details of his dressing for the forest, they were incapable of continuing the description. And with this idea in mind, Sukadev Goswami describes Lord Krishna's bodily appearance. So here, Sanatana Goswami says that this verse is spoken by Sukadev Goswami, understanding what's in the gopis' minds and what has stopped them from being able to speak because they're unable to speak themselves. He is speaking this verse. Or else, so here's an alternative meaning, or else, after being unable to continue, they somehow or another with great endeavor describe this as spoken in this verse. So even though another meaning could be that although they couldn't continue, somehow or another, they could not help but speaking of the beauty of Krishna as described in this verse. This is corroborated by the fact that in the following verse, it begins with the word iti, thus. Thus after, the next verse will say, iti venum ravan rajan, after hearing thus they began describing it after hearing the flute. So this is all brought about by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, which is Sarva Manoharam, which is all attractive. Sarva Bhuta Manoharam, that's in the next verse. It is all attractive and all bewildering. It makes one's mind very, very disturbed. No one can resist, and we'll hear how the different living entities, movable and immovable in Vrindavan, gradually as the chapter goes on, we'll hear how they react to the sound of Krishna's flute. Sri Badarayani, that means Srila Sukadev, also mentions the vibration of the flute in the next verse. He is a dancer, Krishna is a dancer, and his body was decorated with such variegated garments, like a human dancer. Since although the demigods are always decorated in such a way, so in a very, very outstanding, almost outlandishly attractive way, the dancers and the demigods and Krishna are dressed. Or else, by manifesting that body by which all Naras, all living entities, become dancers, they dance out of the burden of joy. So Krishna makes all living entities dance in joy. Although the word kani karam is in a singular number, that means the two ears, because there are two ears, it should be understood as dual, as also in the case of his garments. The kani karam is a blue-colored flower in the shape of a lotus. The wearing of that flower was because it grows especially in the Sarat season, in the fall, and in the spring, and because it bestows special beauty. The Vaijayanti garland is fashioned out of five colors of flowers, and by saying that Krishna was filling the holes of the flute with the nectar of his lips, it implies that he was vibrating the flute with a special feeling of ecstasy. And also that the nectar of his lips, it was filled with the nectar of his lips and was supremely enchanting. The mention of the forest of Vrinda is bearing in mind that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has special eagerness to engage in pastimes with Vrindadevi, the presiding deity of that forest. This implies that the forest was especially properly arranged for his pleasure. Therefore, because of the markings of his feet placed everywhere, as he wandered freely about the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna thus gave joy to Vrindadevi, because this was her forest. And the whole forest was arranged in such ways, the way that the flowers would blossom, the way that the lakes were situated with the cool, clear water, and the breezes would blow. They were all, everything was arranged simply to facilitate Krishna's pleasure and the ongoing pastimes. So this was Vrindadevi's pleasure. She is she is in charge of the forest of Vrindavan. And Krishna's pleasure in reciprocation is to mark the forest with his lotus feet, his footprints, as he wandered freely about. And thus he gave joy to Vrindadevi. This was Vrinda's pleasure, that Krishna was enjoying and wandering in the forest. Or else Vrindavan was charming to his lotus feet, creating attraction by being full of attractive soft dust, flowers, pollen, leaves, and so on. He whose glories, variously comprising his beauty, his cleverness, and so forth, was sung by the groups of cowherd boys, or else in which, upon taking note of his special mood, the glories of the gopis were sung, although they, the gopis, are not directly mentioned out of modesty. His pearl necklace, his golden arm bracelets. What kind of necklace? Pearl. And what kind of arm bracelets? And other ornaments are not mentioned because they are automatically understood because they are always present with him. So Krishna always wore a pearl necklace, golden arm bracelets, etc. So they're not special mentioned. Or else on the first day of the autumn, for the purpose of the special sports in the forest, he dressed himself only in items from the forest. And in that manner, he entered the forest. His being accompanied by Baladev, as stated previously, and also to be stated again later on, is not mentioned here because on account of his particular sentiment at this time. Because Krishna is thinking of the gopis, and the gopis are thinking of him, so it's inappropriate to mention Balaram. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment too. Seeing that the gopis could not speak, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, being omniscient, began the description of Krishna's pastimes according to the mood of their intense love. Krishna was bedecked with a peacock feather, maharpidam, and a kanikara flower on his ears. One flower on his two ears, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Kanikara flower is singular, where kanayo, ears, is in the dual form, to indicate that sometimes Krishna wore one kanikara flower on the left ear and sometimes on the right ear to express the intoxication of his youth. He wore a Vajayanti garland made of the flowers of five different colors. Thus Krishna's beautiful body looked like the best of dances, Natavaravapu. The use of the word bibrat, he wore, indicates that Krishna purposefully dressed in an artful way to display his youthful charms in order to incite the romantic desires of the gopis. But this has nothing to do with the activities of the material world. That means inciting their ecstasy, their transcendental ecstasy caused by love. Since the gopis might have criticized the flute for having holes in it, Krishna filled the holes with the nectar of his lips. Though the flute is non-living, the touch of the nectar of Krishna's lips brought it to life, and it empowered it to madden the three worlds. Then, considering the flute to be dull, lifeless, and unqualified for such work, the vibration exudes from its holes and enters the ears and minds of the Brajagopis. The implication is that the flute vibration makes itself successful in accomplishing its purpose of fully exhibiting its power by conquering the Brajagopis. So that's the sixth verse. Excuse me, the fifth verse. Now the sixth verse. Iti Venu Ravan Rajan. And this is the final introductory verse. And then the seventh verse to the 19th verse. Or 20th verse. Will be the words of the gopis as they describe what they see as they're hearing the transcendental flute of Krishna. So this is the final verse, sort of the introductory verse before the gopis begin their own verses. Iti Venu Ravan Rajan. So thus, O King, O Rajan, O King Parikshit, thus Venu Ravan, the vibration of the flute, Sarvabhuta Manoharam, it bewilders all living entities. Manoharam means it steals the minds of all living entities. Shudva Brajastriya Sarva Banayantyo Bire Bire. So when Brajastriya, the ladies standing in the village of Braja, all of them, Vanayanto, they began engaged in describing what they were hearing and seeing. And as they were doing this, bere, they were embracing each other. Purport. The word iti here indicates that after becoming speechless by remembering Krishna, the cowherd damsels then regained their composure and were thus able to ecstatically describe the sound of Krishna's flute. As a few gopis began to exclaim and the other gopis realized that they all shared the same ecstatic love within their hearts, all of them started embracing one another, overwhelmed with conjugal love for young Krishna. Again, this has nothing to do with the material world or material emotions or material affection or material Cupid or material dealings between boys and girls. There is not the slightest trace or hint of any type of selfishness or lust here. This is all transcendental love on the ecstatic, the most ecstatic platform of relating with Krishna. And here again, Krishna is arousing the ecstasy of the gopis, and the gopis on their part are just interested in serving Krishna in great love. So we'll read to the sixth verse. We'll read there's a short comment by Sridhar Swami. They embraced means that while describing with each phrase, they embraced Lord Krishna, whose very form is supreme ecstasy. So Krishna was, because if you remember, we read that in the 11th canto, that one of those two verses that we read in our introductory class on this chapter, was that Krishna is captured within the heart of the devotees due to their love. So they were embracing Krishna within their hearts, completely supra mundane, nothing to do with the material world. Krishna is manifested in everyone's heart, but especially he's manifested in the hearts of his devotees. So it describes in the Upanishads how there are two birds sitting in the heart. One is the super soul, Suparna. One is the super soul in a metaphor, and the other is the living entity. And the super soul is there witnessing everything and just waiting for the living entities to turn to him. So the gopis, Krishna Bule Se Jeev Anadi Bahimuk. Right now, if Krishna is here, we are like this. Our back is to Krishna completely. And the purpose of Krishna consciousness is to turn us around. That is the purpose. All the sadhana, all the practices that we perform is to again turn to Krishna. So the gopis and every perfected soul has turned to Krishna completely. Krishna is always facing the living entity. It is our business to turn to him. And the gopis, so when the living entity turns to Krishna, then Krishna in the heart, they can always see Krishna within their hearts. And the gopis, and this also, we will hear this in the 23rd chapter, with the dealings between Krishna and the wives of the Brahmins. Krishna entered their hearts through their eyes, and they were embracing in the heart. These pastimes and these activities can go on because Krishna is unlimited, and he's the Supreme Personality of God. And again, it has nothing to do with the material world. We hear the word embracing, and there are connotations from the embraces of the material world, but it has nothing at all to do with that. This is completely on the spiritual level, on the soul level, so to speak, on the eternal level. So the embracing, Srila Swami says, is between Krishna and the Vraja Gopis. Sanatana Goswami says, in this connection, iti means of this sort, or else in this manner. All of them, whether situated far or near, all the gopis, in categories of maturity and youth, together in groups, They were engaged in making their description. Everyone, all the gopis, upon hearing Krishna's flute, their minds were completely captured. And in groups, according to their own maturity and their age, they were speaking about the different effects that this association with Krishna through his flute was having upon them. So they were all describing it. It was the vibration of the flute that they were describing, as already mentioned previously. Thus, even when it is not mentioned specifically, it should be deduced that everywhere they're talking about the vibration of the flute, and indeed the chapter is called The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute. Further, whenever the features of his bodily form, dress, and so forth are described later on, it should be understood by connection as accompanying that sound of the flute, which is most important. They embraced Sri Krishna, who was trapped within their hearts with their affection, or else by the nature of the special loving mood of theirs which arose, they all began to embrace one another. Or else they embraced the vibration of the flute. Or in other words, they grasped it, the vibration of the flute, to their hearts with full affection. This is from a different realm. The reason for all of these cases is that the vibration of the flute was sarva bhuta manoharam. It was enchanting for all living entities. What to speak of for them who already love Krishna? O King, that's what he says in that sixth verse, he says, Rajan, iti venu ravan rajan. O King is similar to the previous stated phrase, nripa, that we said there. He was trying to keep the king from getting too overly ecstatic for that purpose. Or else it should be understood as being an address. O you who are displaying special loving sentiments, O King, where Sukadev is grabbing Maharaj Prickett by the arm, lifting him and embracing him. So everyone is in ecstasy. Because of the purity. Sukadeva was such a great resident of Vrindavan. Maharaj Prickett was personally saved by Krishna while he was still within the womb. His mother was said to be the last person on the planet Uttara who had actually physically seen Krishna. When he was a boy, Maharaj Prickett was always playing with little deities, doll-like deities, great devotee. His name, Prickett, means examination. He was after Krishna saved him while he was still in the womb. Every person he met, he was continuously examining to see, oh, is this that person who has saved me? Is this that Krishna? In other words, he was only and continuously looking for Krishna. Only. Like Mahaprabhu. After Mahaprabhu took initiation from Sripad Ishwara Puri, all that he said, all that he thought about was, where is Krishna? 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 So Mahaprabhu was teaching how to actually be a devotee. Being a devotee means to be devoted. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And one time, while he was in his house, he approached Kanada Pandit. He said, where is Krishna? And he was very excited. And Kanada Pandit said, don't worry, old Pandit. Krishna is in your heart. And he immediately started ripping away. Where is Krishna? He's in my heart. He's in my heart. Virata Pandit calmed him down. Don't worry, be patient. Krishna's there, don't worry. And Mother Sachi so much appreciated how Virata Pandit was able to calm down Mahaprabhu. She said, you always stay with him. You have such a nice way of dealing with my son. You always stay with him. Don't leave his side. So the next verse, which we won't begin now, is the first of the verses, I think, is 7 to 20, describes the actual song of the gopis and how they glorify Krishna's food. And it's a very, very sweet one. I'll just read it, won't talk about it. Akshanvantam phalamidam naparam vidama Shakya pasun anavasesya tovyasyai Vaktram brajesha sutayor anavenu dustam Yavanapitam anuraktakataksamuksam. The coward girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful face of Nanda Maharaj are certainly fortunate. That's the beginning of the verse. I stopped because I forgot to read what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said about the sixth verse, and we wouldn't want to skip that. Seeing that the gopis could not speak. No, I did read that, because no, that was the sixth verse. Okay, then we will stop. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Because here it's included as the sixth verse. Oh, there's a bit of a comment here. Vishwanath says, while engaged in describing Krishna, they embraced each other. O friends, you must have entered within my mind to have said such, which I myself was just about to say. Thus speaking, realizing that each one of them were feeling the same sentiment towards Krishna, they embraced one another. So this is the specific characteristics. These are the specific characteristics of the resonance in Vrindavan. There's different moods in the sentiment. Some love Krishna as he is the wonderful boy next door. Some love him as with Vatsalya Prem, with the parental love. Some love him as friends. Some love him as he is the greatest master. And some, even in a neutral way, mixed with servitorship, they love him. But everyone in Vrindavan simply loves Krishna. They have nothing else on their minds except Krishna, 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 Krishna. And that is the highest ecstasy. That is the highest yoga. That is the perfection of religion. And that is what every soul is longing for. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
For those who have practiced and more or less getting to perfection through Krishna consciousness, would there be like in the already in the spiritual world whilst in the material world, or they're just in the material world waiting to go back to the spiritual world?
It depends how close someone is. If someone is on the platform of a sakti or intense attachment to Krishna, He's like that. And then Baba, he's like that.
So does it mean that the soul itself already is already in the spiritual realm? That means it doesn't care about the body anymore, no worries about this material realm, no affection for it?
No affection on this level.
So the question I'm trying to get is that there's a soul that means the soul has actually never fallen from the spiritual world. That there is even in here, they can be in the spiritual world. Is that right?
Yes, but But you added on to the point that even here he can be in the spiritual world. But then if he's in the spiritual world, he's not here. So you can just change that statement to even when he's in the spiritual world, he can be in the spiritual world. He appears to be here, but he's not there. And the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes that for such a devotee, he's watching the pastimes of Krishna in his heart just like you might watch television. So is he here? He appears to be here, just like the water appears to be on the lotus flower, but it actually is not touching it.
So, the person that says Srila Prabhupada was actually from the spiritual world, he's already in the spiritual mentality, already from in the Krishna mentality. So, he appears to be teaching us.
He was teaching us, but he wasn't here. Exactly. It didn't seem like he seemed to be from somewhere, from a different realm. The atmosphere surrounding him was from a different realm, but it wasn't like he was bumping into the walls and things like that, because he's not from this place. It's not like that. It's not like he's not here in the sense that he's not, that his mind is always elsewhere, like Arjuna. Arjuna had to fight. His mind was on the battle for Krishna, but it was Mama Anusmara Yudhya Cha. It was on Krishna, but it was on the battle. His feet were on the ground. Prabhupada was very practical, but he wasn't intimidated by the material world at all, nor was he impressed by it. He wasn't influenced by it. But he was completely practical when dealing with it. He was a warrior. He was fighting. You have to keep your mind on the arrows and bows and upon the enemy's actions when you're fighting. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Even if you love Krishna, so you have to, you can't manifest the full extent of your consciousness, perhaps. So therefore it says that the Uttama Bhagavat has to come down to act as if he's a Madhyam Bhagavat to preach in this world. Because Uttama, they see everything, you aren't here in the class, but we described that they see Krishna in everything, and everything in Krishna. So how can you preach if you see like that? There's a different level. You see how everyone is serving Krishna anyway. So there's no need of preaching. So, but the Madhyam, you have to act as if a Madhyam, as if you're a middle class devotee to preach. So for Prabhupada, he had to come from the Uttama platform to act as if Madhyam. And for us, we have to come from the baby platform to act as if we have to come up. Any other questions or comments? No, Prabhupada was so serious. He was so serious and grave about the preaching. He was not at all otherworldly. He was as practical as a Chinese businessman. He was as practical as a Chinese businessman. But it was hard. You couldn't tell. I mean, because you couldn't know his mind. But he was absorbed in Krishna, but he was all grounded in practical reality. And sometimes his inner mood would permeate everything. His inner mood. The sweetness of his relationship with Krishna would permeate everything. But externally he acted. But it was always extraordinary. Hard to describe such a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Venu Kita, Song of the Gopis Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.